This morning we mentioned that there are 551 verses found in the Bible that mention heaven. In those 551 verses, the word heaven is found 583 times. The Old Testament speaks of heaven 327 times. The New Testament speaks of heaven 256 times. Folks, heaven ought to be something that you and I fill our minds with, because it is spoken of so oftentimes in the Word of God. Heaven is a part of the Christian's reward, Matthew 5, verse 12. Great is your reward in heaven, Jesus said, if we face persecution properly. We may mention this morning that our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, not on this earth. Philippians 3, verse 20. And we also noted that heaven is a part of the Christian's hope, not something that we have at this present time, but something that is yet to come and that we long for and deeply anticipate. Colossians 1, verse 5. Don't we often sing of heaven? In fact, there is a song that says, "Sing to me of heaven." We sing the song, "No tears in heaven." We sing another song, "Heaven holds all to me." When I was a youngster growing up at the Knight Arnold Church of Christ, in that youth group, there was a song that we sang, and it was entitled, "Heaven is a Wonderful Place." And that is the title of our lesson this evening. Heaven is a wonderful place. The question that we ask is this: what is it that makes heaven so wonderful? Let's talk about some reasons. Number one, heaven is a wonderful place because it is the dwelling place of deity. This morning we made mention of the fact that heaven is God's dwelling place. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." Matthew 6, verse 9. We may mention also that Jesus dwells in heaven. Remember when Jesus was ascending from this earth into heaven? The angels appeared there to those apostles and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The place where Jesus presently abides is heaven. We turn to John 1, verse 32. We learn that the Spirit also makes his dwelling place in heaven. And John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." If there were no other reason presented tonight, the fact that deity dwells in heaven is enough to make it wonderful, isn't it? If there were nothing else there, only the fact that deity is there, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are there, you and I should desire to go there just because they are there. There. Heaven is a wonderful place because deity dwells there. Secondly, heaven is a wonderful place because it is a place of rest. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the writer deals with this concept of rest. And rest is something that is identified in Scripture all the way from the beginning until now. But one statement that he makes is this: "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." Hebrews 4, verse 9. Folks, the rest that he's talking about is our eternal rest, our rest in heaven. John in the Revelation makes mention of this rest as well. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14, verse 13. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find that traversing this world can be hard. walking in this world, traveling this world, can be difficult. Oh yes, we have our jobs, our careers, our areas of labor that we work in, sometimes 25, 30, 40, sometimes even 50 or 60 years. Most of us enjoy those places, but we oftentimes grow weary in those works, don't we? But folks, that's just minor compared to some of the other things that we face in life. The trials, the struggles, the difficulties, the hardships. They break us down both physically and emotionally, and we grow weary while we are here in this earth. And from what I understand, it does not get much better as you get older. Oh yes, you retire, you don't have to go to work, but there is still struggle, and there is still difficulty, and there is still hardship, and there are health problems, and there are family difficulties, and there are trials that you face as an older individual that young people do not have to face. As the psalmist said, there is strength, labor, and sorrow. It is soon cut off, and we fly away. Yes, here oftentimes our spirit cries out due to the weariness and the tiredness thereof. Sometimes we'd like to think, oh, if it would just all stop. We lay our heads upon our pillows, and yes, we go to sleep, and we think we will arise in the morning rested and refreshed, and yet we arise to face another day of difficulty and struggle and hardship. But my friends, there is a day when full, complete rest will be given to the child of God. Now here's something that's interesting. In order to receive it, you got to work, don't you? Let us therefore labor that we might enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, Hebrews 4, verse 11. Folks, if you and I want rest, then you and I are going to have to diligently work for our God here. You and I are going to have to expend the effort for God here. You and I are going to have to give our blood, our sweat, our time, our talents, our abilities here if we want that rest which is to come. And it will be worth it. I love to read that account in Luke, the 16th chapter, of the rich man and Lazarus, don't you? There that rich man is, and he wakes up in torments, the Bible says. Begging, begging, begging for just a drop of water to cool his tongue, for he is tormented in that flame. And he looks across into the bosom of Abraham, and there Lazarus is, and Abraham says that he is comforted. Folks, what a joy that will be, won't it? The moment you shut your eyes in death, the angels will escort you into a place of total and utter comfort and serenity. What a blessing for the child of God. Yes, heaven is a wonderful place because there will be rest therein. Thirdly, heaven is a wonderful place because of the beauty that is found therein. And I, John, was in a vision, and he took me unto a mountain great and high. Now listen. And I saw that great city, the New Jerusalem, descending from heaven from God. Revelation 21, verse 10. Folks, you turn to that chapter and you begin to read, and John does everything he can to describe to us in physical terms what that place is going to be like. Now, I realize that these are physical things, but the descriptions that are there are beautiful, are they not? He speaks about the foundations of the walls of that city, and he says that it is garnished with all manner of precious stones. Verse 19. You look down into verse 21, and he says that there are going to be gates in this city, and the gates are going to be fashioned out of pearls. 12 gates, 12 pearls. One of the things over in Hawaii that they specialize in are pearls. Little bitty pearls. Can you imagine an entire gate made from a pearl? They have over there different structures that they have fashioned and formed, and they have done so out of marble. And when you look on them, you say, wow! You marvel at the look of those. Can you imagine an entire gate carved out of pure pearl? The Bible goes on to describe the city that is, or the street that is found within this city. In that same verse, verse 21. And the streets of the city are of pure gold. Listen to this. As it were, transparent as glass. The best gold that I have ever seen is 18 karat gold. That's it. And guess what I couldn't do? I couldn't see through it. They say 24 karat gold is the best gold that you can find. Go find your little 24 karat gold and put it up and see if you can see through it. Folks, it can't be done. The gold of heaven's city is so pure that it is transparent, even as glass. There is no need for the sun, neither of the moon. For the Father is the light thereof, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 23. Can you imagine peering up into the heavens and no sun, no moon, no stars, no need? Why? The glory of God lightens that city. We jump down into verse 1 of chapter 22. And we learn there more about this precious city, do we not? We learn in verse 2 more about this city as well. This city has a river running through it in verse 1. And the Bible says it is as clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. I've seen some beautiful waters, haven't you? Waters that can be 100 feet deep and you can see all the way to the bottom. Can you imagine the crystal clarity of the river of water found in the city of God? And notice he says that there's a tree there. He refers to it as a tree that bears 12 manner of precious fruit. He names it, does he not? The tree of life. Listen to him. And it bears its fruit every month. Now I like trees to produce, don't you? I like to go up there and I like to pick the fruit off those and eat some of the fruits that are found there on. But most of the time there is a season, isn't there? There may be a week, there may be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, wherein you can go and you can pull that fruit when it's perfectly ripe. But there in heaven, the tree of life produces every month. I don't know about you, but I don't eat leaves very often. Do you? I can go to a fruit tree and I'll eat the fruit, but I don't want the leaves. I kind of throw those off. But listen to the text. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Folks, everything that is given unto us is in physical terms, isn't it? But it's all given to help us to understand the beauty of the place that God has prepared for us. Heaven is a wonderful place. Why? Because it is a place of utmost beauty. You talk to individuals about retirement. And in their minds, they have this setting, do they not, of where they would love to retire. You talk to some, and they'd love to retire in the mountains. My brother's a mountain man. He'd like to go to the Smoky Mountains and live there. He loves to see the trees changing. He likes a little bit of snow that's found there. He can keep all the cold he wants because I don't want it. And then there's others of us who are coastal people, are we not? We love the warmth. We love to hear the waves of the ocean. We love to feel the warm air and the breeze of that ocean as well. And we love that time from about November till the 1st of May. And I can't wait. I know Brett can't. Beautiful time. Some people love a place where there's forest, do they not? Some love the open plains, but you talk to them and in their mind, they have this vision of where I want to retire when I finally rest. Well, folks, we've already talked about that place of rest, have we not? But not only is it a place to rest, but also it is a place wherein you will rest in the most utmost beauty that can be found. What a way to spend your eternity. Thirdly, or fourthly, isn't it? Heaven is a wonderful place because in that place there will be no pain. Not long ago, I was doing some work in the yard and I woke up one morning and I had a blister on a finger. I had a splinter in another finger on the same hand. Folks, those are little things, aren't they? But those are some of the most aggravating things that you could possibly imagine. And until you take care of them and doctor them, they remind you that this is truly a world that is filled with pain, don't they? The date was 9/11 of this year. And Kathleen and I arose that morning, not intentionally scheduling it, but we had a tour of Pearl Harbor. A day that will live in infamy. Folks, I can't imagine the pain and the anguish, not only of those soldiers on that day, but the pain this nation felt. Some of you know it. You were living then. I can't imagine the pain and the anguish felt by the families of those fallen soldiers when that day arose. We came back home to our hotel. I turned on the television. And we are reminded that there is an embassy in our world that is being attacked. And four fall that day. One of them being one of our U.S. ambassadors. You know, we turn that stuff on and we hear it and we turn it off. And we act like it doesn't affect us whatsoever. Can you imagine that being your son, that being your brother, that being your uncle, that being your grandchild, and a call now comes, the cause of individuals who despise us. Now my child is dead, the anguish that is there. Folks, there are so many different kinds of pain, so many kinds of hurt that individuals feel in this life, from physical to emotional to spiritual to financial to relational. Pain and anguish, almost every day of our lives, something affects us, does it not? That hurts. We read the verse this morning, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. Folks, can you imagine a place where there is no pain at all? Heaven is a wonderful place because of no pain. Number five, heaven is a wonderful place because it is a place wherein there is no sin whatsoever. This world has a ruler, does it not? The Bible says that Satan is the ruler of this world. He is referred to as the prince of this world in John 12, verse 31. He is referred to as the God, little g, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He is referred to as the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, verse 2. Satan dominates this world. Satan is control of this world. Does it surprise you then that there are all types of sin that fill our world? Does it surprise you that this is a world of corruption and of violence and of bloodshed and of hate and of ignorance and of unbelief? Folks, it's in our world, it's in our communities, it's in our families, it's in churches, and sometimes it even affects my, and I use that word to indicate our personal lives, does it not? Every day we arise and we look upon sin, we hear about sin, and you and I do battle with sin. I was on a lectureship about 2 years ago. A friend of mine by the name of Tom House is a preacher. And while we were there, we were told that his mother and father's house had been invaded by thieves, and both of them were shot dead in their home. I can't imagine getting news like that, can you? A wicked, evil world. Not heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, or whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 21, verse 27. Again, stop and imagine, folks. A world of absolutely no sin. All you have to do is exit this building, don't you? Go into some of the homes in this neighborhood. And you will find dysfunction and sin therein. Let the sun go down on Mayport Road, and there will be sin and iniquity that fills that road. Not on that street of gold in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place because it is a place of no sin. Number six, heaven is a wonderful place because it is the home of all the redeemed of all the ages. What is a redeemed person? Folks, a redeemed person is a person who has been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, isn't it? And what's interesting is sometimes we have this tendency to think that the only redeemed individuals are those who have lived from the time of the cross onward. Not so. Remember, the blood of Jesus not only flows forward, but when He died, that blood went back. And it covered all the sins of those who lived faithfully under the patriarchal age and Mosaic age. And they too have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But now note, the redeemed are also those who are faithful to their God. Revelation 21, or Revelation 2, verse 10. Just because I've been bought by the blood of Christ does not guarantee me salvation. There's faithfulness on my part. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. John writes these words in the Revelation. And I looked, and lo, I saw a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, with the name of His Father written on their foreheads. These are they which have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that go with the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These are the redeemed among men, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Revelation 14, verses 1 and 4. My friends, when you and I enter into that heavenly abode, millions of redeemed will walk the street of gold. Can you imagine casting your eyes upon Noah, upon Abraham, upon Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph? Upon that great lawgiver Moses, upon Joshua, upon that wonderful king by the name of David, upon prophets such as Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, upon Ezra the priest, upon Nehemiah, the great wall builder of Jerusalem. Can you imagine looking around and seeing beautiful women such as Sarah and Deborah and Esther and Ruth and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and a servant of the church at Cenchrea by the name of Phoebe? Can you imagine what honor will be ours to look and behold those 12 apostles as they spend their eternity in the presence of deity? Well, there's another too, isn't there? One born out of due season, to be able to sit there and to converse with that apostle by the name of Paul. I've heard about all of these wonderful preachers of the past, all those restoration men. What a privilege it will be to see those great individuals, will it not? But my friends, it's not reserved only for Bible greats and gospel preachers. It's reserved for you and me, is it not? Can you imagine going and being reunited with family, with friends, with previous church members that have now gone on? And then to look down and realize, I'm a part of this crowd of the redeemed. What joy will fill your soul when that becomes a reality. I mentioned at the start of this lesson a song that we used to sing in our youth group. Heaven is a wonderful place. Go something like this. I'm not going to sing it. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Now, you usually repeat that song two or three times. And right at the end of that fourth line, there's a little phrase in there. And here's the way the song goes. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. You just walk around this world and you ask people, you want to go to heaven? And guess what? They want to go there, don't they? Now, there's that little joke that always says, not right now. But you ask them, do you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go. But folks, not everybody who wants to go is going, are they? There's only one group who gets to go, and that's the obedient unto God Almighty. We mentioned Matthew 7:21 this morning. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's also Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Where is that tree? In heaven. And enter in through the gates. Where are those gates? In heaven. Into the city. We talked about the city. What is that? The New Jerusalem. Heaven, my friends. Who goes there? Those who keep His commandments. If you're not a Christian, you need to keep the commandments by being obedient to the gospel of Christ. You must hear Romans 10, 17. Believe in the Christ as the Son of the living God. John 8, verse 24. Repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3. Confess the name of Jesus. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And be buried in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. 5 steps. Easy, simple. Those steps are found in every one of the conversion accounts in the book of Acts. Have you done them? If not, you need to. What about you, dear Christian? Do you remember one of the descriptions of those 144,000? In Revelation 14, verse 4. And they go with the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Have you really made Jesus your shepherd? Do you follow Him wherever He goes? If not, maybe you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Folks, I want to stand in heaven one day, don't you? And I want to look down and I want to come to the realization, my, I'm one of the redeemed. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?